certainly does not represent heaven, but rather it represents what the Bible calls the spiritually minded man or the spirit life. That is the life of a saved man or woman that is controlled by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to enter that place of spiritual blessing. That is through the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ in accord with the Word of God. Many in our world today claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, but they disregard or greatly pervert the Word of God. Many in our day claim to be loyal subjects of the Bible, but have little or no relationship to and bear little likeness or resemblance of Jesus Christ. They talk about the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, but nothing of Jesus. Both of these are unbalanced approaches to Christianity. Christianity is the person of Jesus Christ as revealed in the Word of God. And either one without the other will leave you in the wilderness. We've also seen that though it's the desire of God to bring men and women into the promised land, into the spirit life, there is a certain ingredient that is necessary on the part of a man or a woman if they are ever to be spiritually minded. And that's desire. God desires to save sinners. But sinners who don't want to be saved die in their sins and spend eternity in hellfire. Your desire to be saved is required before God can and will save you. In like manner, many people are just content to be saved. I'm going to heaven someday. Today I'm going to the lake. Today I'm going to the ball game. Today I'm going to work. Today I'm going to the casino. Someday I'm going to heaven, and they're content with that. The Bible calls that the carnal mind. It says to be carnally minded is death. And you can get out of that. The Lord can lead you out of that. He can bring you out of that. But you must desire that deliverance. God is perfectly able not to give you victory over your sins, but to give you freedom from them. As Baptists, we approach life in this way. I'm going to fight with all I've got to keep from doing that. And when I finally do it, I'll confess it and get forgiven and then rise to fight it again. Well, you know, that's noble. That's a whole lot better than just sinning and not caring. But God doesn't want to give you victory in your fight against your sin. He wants to give you victory over yourself that desires to sin in the first place. We are waging war with the outcome. God wants to wage war with the cause. The cause of my sinning is my desire to sin. And the cause of my victory or my deliverance will be my desire for victory and deliverance. Sadly, most saved people have no such desire because they've never even been told that such a thing is possible. Get saved, get saved, get saved, get saved. Are you saved? Yes. Okay, then go get somebody else saved. That's all well and good. But the reason most people in our town don't want to get saved is because of the saved people they know, who lie to them and cheat them and don't pay their bills and cuss and tell dirty stories and cheat on their wife and ruin their marriages and mistreat their children. And the only time they're ever talking about church or a preacher is to criticize or condemn. Why would anybody want to get saved if all getting saved does is make you bitter and hypocritical? And so the Lord is interested in our being witnesses, but He's first interested in our being filled with the Holy Ghost. Did you notice in the book of Acts as you read through it that Before Jesus ever turned those people loose on John Q. Public, He first turned the Holy Spirit loose on them. He wanted a holy people preaching a holy gospel about a holy Savior, because He knew a lack of holiness would discredit the very words they were proclaiming. And so the Bible says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 5, middle of the verse says, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." What a great promise from God. He'll not fail. He'll not forsake. Praise His name for that. "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Father, please make us desirous this morning of a victorious Christian life. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. God has commanded courage. God has commanded strength. But then He does not supply strength. He does not supply courage. He supplies His Word. "I'm commanding you to be what my Word can make you. I am commanding you to live under the control and the influence of my Word." The command to be strong, the command to be courageous, is followed by God's instruction as to how to obey that command. I have a book. It's called the Bible. And people disregard the Bible. People don't read the Bible. People don't study the Bible. And so preachers become frustrated and they turn from it to the right hand. They stand in their pulpits and preach rules and regulations and commandments that could not be found in the Word of God. But they are an attempt by a preacher to force people who don't want to be spiritual to look like it and act like it. I am a man with a short haircut and no nicotine in my pocket. I am a woman with a long dress on and no tight waistband. Our children are homeschooled and we have devotions every morning. And don't speak to us because we hate you. Because you watch something we wouldn't watch. That is not Bible. That is turning aside from the Word of God to the right hand. You are conservative. You are modest. You are decent. You are sanctified. You are separated. But you are not scriptural, and therefore you are not spiritual. How do you know? The fruit of the Spirit is love. And you don't love those that differ with your standards. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. And when you've kept all your rules, you have no joy. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. And you can only have peace in your own home because you can't get along with anybody else. So you've turned aside from God's Word to the right hand. Then other preachers look out and they say, "The people aren't reading the Bible. They're not obeying the Bible. They're not living right. They're not doing right. what's a man to do but tell them they don't have to? Wear your bikini to church. We don't care what you wear. Bring your rap music to church and wear your britches halfway down your behind. We don't care what you listen to or who you emulate. Do what you want. Go to a movie full of cussing and swearing and making out and sex scenes on Saturday night and come to communion on Sunday morning. We don't care, as long as you love the Lord. And so that group has turned aside from God's Word to the left hand. The one group is added to the Scripture. The other group is taken away from the Scripture. And both just wander around in the wilderness, carnally minded, under the control of their sin. One might be a sin that is of a worldly nature. The other might be a sin that is of a prideful or a self-righteous nature. But in either case, an absence of God's Word governing the heart and the life leaves you in the wilderness. God has commanded me to be strong, but He doesn't give me strength, He gives me His Word. God has commanded me to be courageous, but He doesn't give me courage, He gives me His Word. God has commanded me to enter Canaan land and conquer the enemies that are there, that which would oppose my spiritual life. What weapons does He give me? He gives me His Word. You all know the story of Jericho. We'll get there in a year and a half maybe. It's all the way up in chapter 6. And the children of Israel had weapons. They had swords. They had spears. We don't know what else they had. Slingshots, whatever the case might be. AK-47s, tanks. We don't know what they had. They had weapons of war. God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to march around that city. Well, yeah, that's what I want you to do. Well, Lord, don't you want us to... I want you to march around the city. You know where their strength was? In their obedience to the Word of God. I want you to march around one time. Well, Lord, you know, if one time's good, let's go two. No, that's turn the side of the right hand. Well, if God's going to fight for us, why don't we just go out and stand in front of the city? Now, let's turn inside to the left side. I want you to walk around that city one time and then go back home. Doesn't make any sense at all. But it's God's Word. Next day, I want you to get up and do it again. Well, can we throw some rocks on the white? No, don't throw a rock. Can we shoot a flaming arrow or two as we go by just to shake them up? No, you don't need to shake them up. I'm going to shake them up. You just do what I told you to do. And about the sixth day, they're walking around that city, and you know, some of them thinking, this is nuts, man. Why are we just walking around the city? Didn't God tell us to fight? Didn't God tell us to drive out our enemies? And Joshua said, God told you, if you would obey His Word, He would fight for you and drive out your enemies. You just walk around this town. The seventh day they went out, and Joshua says, what we're going to do, we're going to go around seven times, and nobody say a word. Don't say a word. Just go silently march around that city. Had to have been the strangest thing anybody had ever seen. 1.5 million people. Spending all day walking around in a circle not saying a word. The Lord said, after that seventh time, I want you to blow on trumpets. When He blew those trumpets, the walls fell down. And the people of the city just fell apart. Were they strong enough to win that battle? They sure were. Were they courageous enough to take that city? They sure were. As a result of what? Doing just what God said. People call me all the time on telephone. I got a drinking problem. I got a drug problem. I got a marriage problem. I got a problem with my children. And you know what they don't want? They don't want the Bible. They want the preacher to wave the magic wand and sprinkle some fairy dust on it and make it go away. They don't want to sit in church 3 or 4 times a week and hear the Word of God and have their heart and their mind changed. They don't want to fellowship with God's people and have their habits and their lifestyle redirected. They don't want to be accountable to righteous people. They don't want to study the Scriptures. They just want God to fix the mess they made without any obedience to His Word, and it's not happening. It's not going to happen. All you've got to do to be saved is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not all you've got to do to have a good life. Let's turn the Bible to John chapter 8. John chapter number 8. You men that work in the prisons, you ladies that work in the jails, those of you that work in the rescue missions, knock on doors and witness. The man sits in that cell, and he's committed a terrible crime. And he committed that terrible crime as a result of alcohol or drug use. And you sit there and you say, now, what you need, you need to be saved. He says, oh, I'm saved. And you think, this guy's not saved. No way he's saved doing this. He wouldn't be here. Wouldn't have done that if he was saved. He says, sir, when I say saved, I don't mean you just believe in God. And that man sits on that metal bench, and he gives you the truth about Jesus Christ. He gives you the true plan of salvation. He tells you how and when he got saved. And listen, if that guy is not saved, nobody is. He's done exactly what the Bible says a person has to do to get saved. So why did he, in a drunken stupor, commit a crime that ended him up in jail for 40 years? Because getting saved won't help you in this life. If you don't submit yourself to the teaching of the Word of God, all getting saved will do is get you to heaven when you die. It won't get you any help in this life. It opens to you. It makes available to you all the power and strength of Almighty God, all the holiness of the Spirit of the living God Himself. It makes that available to you. But it does not impart it. The Bible says in John 8, verse 24, Jesus is speaking, I said therefore unto you that ye should die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never been born again, if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to die in your sins. Unforgiven, unsaved, no place in heaven, no eternal life. You don't want to do that. And so the Bible says in verse number 30, as He spake these words, many believed on Him. Praise the Lord! They believed on Him, so what? They don't have to die in their sins. When time comes to die, the eternal penalty for sins has been paid by Jesus Christ through their faith in Jesus Christ, so they don't have to die in their sins. But He didn't say anything about not having to live in your sins. Praise the Lord, I'm saved this morning. I don't have to die in my sins. That's what salvation takes care of. That's what believing on the Lord Jesus Christ takes care of. Now, O wilderness wanderers, what are we going to do about living in our sins? You see? Heaven's taken care of the moment you get born again. The eternal penalty for sin is taken care of the moment you get born again. But what about the hold and the influence and the nagging, lingering effects of sin the next 50 years down here? How about that? The Bible says in verse 31, they believed, right? Then, after they believed, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him. So who's He addressing? He's addressing believers. He is addressing people who have put their faith and trust in Him. And to those people He says, if, condition, ye continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed. Jesus is concerned with the deeds of believers. He wants the deeds of believers to be like His own. He wants you to be a disciple, a disciplined follower of Him. If you do not continue in His Word, you cannot be His disciple. If you do not continue in His Word, you cannot show forth your relationship to Him in deed. They are believers, they get to go to heaven. If they are not obedient to the Word, they live in bondage to their sins until they die. That's not so hot. I'm glad I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I'm glad I've got a home in heaven. I'm glad I'm not going to spend eternity crying out for one drop of water. But my wife would like a little more than that. My children would like a little more than that. My co-workers would like a little more than that. My brothers and sisters that I go to church with would appreciate a little more than that. I'm saved. And by the way, I just stole your wife. I'm saved. And by the way, I wrecked your car last night driving home drunk. I'm saved. And by the way, that work you did for me, I'm not paying you. I'm saved. So that gets me into heaven by the grace of God. But that doesn't get heaven into me. And this world doesn't need saved people. This world needs disciples indeed. And Jesus said you can only become a disciple indeed if you continue in the Word. Here's what happens. Somebody comes to church here. They're saved. And they've never in their life been any place where they could hear the Bible, learn the Bible, know that Jonah and the whale isn't a ripoff of Pinocchio. And, wow, this is great. This is wonderful. I love it. Then about 3 months into their love affair, there's a sermon about husbands love your wives and wives submit yourselves to your husbands. And now they're not in love anymore. Now they just go there. Or, man, that preacher, boy, he really knows the Bible. Or he did until he got on that. And now he's an ignoramus, twice over with butter. He's just a total dolt. He doesn't know a thing. That's right. And you know what Jesus said? You want to be My disciple? You're going to have to get in that Word, and you're going to have to stay there. And when you come across something in that Word you don't like, you're going to have to deal with it, or you're going right back out in the wilderness. You're going to have to submit to it, or you're going right back out in the wilderness, and you're going to take everybody you've been influencing with you. Guy goes to work. Oh, praise the Lord. I found this church is a great church. You ought to go to church with me. Oh, it's wonderful. It's great. You just ought to come. And 6 months later, guy walks up and says, well, I've been thinking about it. Things aren't too good at home. I've been thinking about going to church with you. No, I don't go anymore. What? I don't go anymore. Really? Tell me why. You're not about to tell him why. You're going to have to say something about they're all a bunch of hypocrites, the preacher's a lie. You're not going to stand there and tell that guy, I heard a sermon about a pet sin in my life, and I love that sin more than I love being in that church, so I'm out. You're not about... People don't leave and then go tell their neighbors and their job mates why they left. They try to destroy the work of the gospel to protect their own reputation. Well, if the Lord just fixed this thing where every time you opened your mouth and had to tell why you were mad at somebody you went to church with, the truth came out. Wouldn't that be something? I don't like him. Why? Well, one day. And then the story you were going to tell that makes you sound godly can't get out. And the real truth happens that makes you sound like a moron comes out. But see, the Lord doesn't work it that way. But I'm telling you right now, I have read things in this Bible and continue to read them. That honestly, in my flesh as a man, I'd just as soon God hadn't put in there. Really. I can't tell you how many times, and I'm not saying this right, I'm just trying to reason with you. I can't tell you how many times I've been talking to some self-righteous Christian that didn't want to live right, and wished Jesus had never turned that water into wine. I'm so tired of arguing about that. I'm so tired of people want to get drunk using Jesus as an alibi for the lust of their flesh. And I'm just telling you, it's God's Word, and it's pure, and it's holy, and it's right. But my life as a minister would be easier if it wasn't there. There's some commandments that God has given me that just go right against what I feel like doing. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, do I get to pick which ones? No, all of them. Well, now, see there, you know, there's some I don't want to love as myself. Because I've decided they're not as good as I am. So what is it? Sin in my life meets truth in the Word of God, and to be spiritually minded, I must continue in the Word. If I don't continue in the Word, then my deeds will not be those of a disciple, and I will be saved and on my way to heaven, but I will not be enjoying victory over my enemies. Look at verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know what the most important word in that verse is? And. I'm an old guy now. I got a haircut yesterday and didn't even have to get the top cut. You figure that out after a while. I have seen the civil rights movement use John 8:32 to justify burning down buildings. I've seen the sodomite homosexual movement use John 8:32 to justify homos marching down the street and saying they're proud of it. I've seen John 8:32 used to justify every wacko idea in the world. We're free to do whatever we want. We're free to sin. We're free because we know the truth and the truth made us free. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, and if you are a believer, and if you continue in the Word, and if you do what it says, then God will reveal to you the truth. And the truth, according to John 14, is not information gleaned from the Bible. It is Jesus Christ. And you will not know Jesus Christ in His fullness until you submit yourself to the Word of God and stay there. The truth is Jesus Christ. You can know facts about the millennium and facts about the tribulation and facts about the body of Christ and facts about the resurrection and facts about the Old Testament, but you can't know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. so that He controls your deeds, and so that you are genuinely a disciple of His, unless you get in the Word and stay there. That's why somebody been saved 5 years, 10 years, and thinks they're a mature Christian, and thinks they got it all figured out, and just dares anybody to differ with them on anything, they never get there. You've got to continue in that Word. I hadn't been saved long, and I could win an argument with anybody on a point of doctrine. But I couldn't care less in my heart what became of them. So what did I have? I had facts. I didn't have truth. Jesus Christ rebuked the Pharisees and then went to a cross and died for them. I'm like the Lord. I call people names. I tell them off. Boy, I told them where they need to get off. Just like Jesus and those Pharisees. Really. That's Matthew 23. You know what He did in chapter 26? He took all their sins in His body and got Himself nailed to a cross to pay for all their transgression so He could forgive them and give them eternal life. If all you can do is quote Matthew 23 and justify telling people off because that's what you've always done, you're in the wilderness. If you can't die for those people that are that wrong, if you can't die for those people that are opposing you that severely, you're in the wilderness. You're carnally minded. You could tell people off before you got saved. But could you love them? Could you die for them? He says, "You should know the truth, and the truth, that's Jesus Christ, now look, shall make you free." If those words are true, I can be a believer and not be free. Isn't that right? Isn't John 8:31 and 32 a follow-up to believing in verse 30? It sure is. And so saved people this morning, hey, believe me, saved people this morning can't get free from pornography. They can't get free from alcohol. They can't get free from depression. They can't get free from laziness. They can't get free from habits and vices, nicotine, alcohol. They can't get free from self-love. They can't get free from self-righteousness. They can't get free from pride. Why? Because they've turned aside to the right hand or turned aside to the left hand, but they're not living in accord with what that book says. The freedom and salvation, they don't come together. They're not one and the same. There is a continuation in the Word. People never make the connection between I can't quit losing my temper and I'm not witnessing. Does the Bible say witness? Has the Bible commanded you to witness? Well, if you're not obeying the Word of God, how are you going to get victory over your temper? Your temper is not your problem. Your disobedience to the Word is your problem. Jesus said, He didn't stand, listen, Joshua didn't stand out there and say, now people, here's a list of the cities we have to conquer. Here's a list of the enemy generals. Here's a numbering of the enemy troops. He said, look, here's all we've got to worry about. If we will do what God says, all of those enemies will fall. And as long as you're trying to deal with your anger problem, or deal with your despair problem, or deal with your attitude problem, you're never going to get the victory. The way to get victory over sin is to obey the Word of God. The Lord said, pray without ceasing. You got a sorry prayer life, you're going to smoke till you die. Smoking's not your problem, disobedience is your problem. The Bible said, don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. You come to church when you feel like it, hit and miss, don't pay attention when you're there. Daydream, not and don't give yourself to brethren, don't greet anybody, don't invest in anybody's life, and then you say, well, preacher, you know, I got this problem. My wife, you know, she's a little, hey, your problem's not your wife, your problem's your disobedience. If you don't obey the Word of God, you can't get free. Here's what we want. We want God to fix this specific problem in our life because it's bothering us. We don't want to obey the whole counsel of God because we're not that interested in living for Jesus. We just want to use God and use the Bible to address specific areas we deem a problem. And it doesn't work that way. This is not a bottle of iodine to be applied to areas of injury. This is the whole counsel of God for your whole life, and if you'll start obeying what God tells you to do in area A, you will find an enemy in area B fleeing for cover. Now, that's what he said. He said, you can't get free without obedience. And you'll find if you start obeying the truth of the Word of God in those areas that are clear to you, He will begin giving you victories in areas that aren't, you don't even think are related. But they are. Look in your Bible in James chapter 1. James chapter number 1. James 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. Are you ready for a great Bible phrase? And superfluity of naughtiness. I wouldn't get a new version just because that phrase wouldn't be in it. Really, I wouldn't want to give that up. So what's it mean? I don't care what it means. I just like it. I just like the sound of it. Well, I can't understand. Doesn't matter if you can understand. It's just a great phrase. Superfluity of naughtiness. There's another one like that in the book of Acts. Holy Spirit calls these guys. He says, they were certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Isn't that a great phrase? Don't you know those guys? Superfluity of naughtiness. That is, these people, they're not only naughty, they're naughty to excess. All right. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Okay? So, how do you get saved? I receive the truth of the Word of God, and salvation is a result of my receiving God's Word. Okay? Praise the Lord. Same thing you got in John 8. But, okay? Now that you've received the Word and your soul is saved, we're not through with you. But, if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Okay? We were on this boys' trip this week, and there were some people round about a swimming pool at the motel. And I know when they stripped down to their underclothes and looked in the mirror, they could not have been impressed with what they saw. But by the time they got to the pool, they had decided that everybody else would be impressed with what they saw. They forgot what they were looking at. Just as soon as they got away from that mirror, it's like they'd never even looked. All of a sudden, they could imagine themselves to be something they weren't. You know what the Lord said? It's not enough for you to read your Bible every morning if as soon as you're done, you forget what you saw. It's not enough to go to church on Sunday if as soon as you walk out, you forget what you saw. And this wouldn't be in the Bible if every one of us wasn't capable of doing that. I can be convicted. I can repent. I can apologize to God. I can swear and vow that I'll do better next time, and I can walk right out that door and go back to being just what I was before I walked in. That's the flesh. As long as that flesh has dominion, there'll never be any victory. So verse 25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, What's the law of liberty? If you obey the Word of God, Jesus Christ will set you free. That's a fixed law in God's universe. It's an absolute fixed law. It's as sure as gravity. That's right. 5 solid days up in the Smoky Mountains, I tried falling and not hitting the ground. And they're just a fixed law. You go down every time. Didn't float, didn't fly, didn't elevate, didn't levitate, just went down every time. Fixed law. It's a fixed law in God's Word. If you'll continue in His Word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you, it'll give you liberty. It's fixed law. Okay? So, whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty, and, now look, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now watch what God does so you don't err to the right hand or err to the left hand. Watch what He does. He says, here's the example. The example is what you see in a mirror. But here's what that is an example of. What you hear in your ear. See, if He'd have said, so remember, when you look in the mirror of the Word, to make sure you look good when you're done, you'd think, as long as I get this outside fixed up, I'm okay. But what you hear doesn't affect the outside, it affects the inside. And so the Lord said, just as surely as a woman in the physical realm, a man in the physical realm, looks in the mirror to make sure the outside is what it ought to be, so those of you that are living in the spiritual realm, I want you to look in God's Word to hear what you're supposed to be on the inside. And He said, be careful because you'll forget. You'll forget. Now why did He say, why did He give that example of the mirror? Because you check that mirror every day. Several times a day. Go to the washroom. Check the mirror before you leave. Driving in the car, check the mirror. Get where you're going, check the mirror. Pull out the compact. That's right. Continually. I want to make sure I look right. I want to make sure my clothes are right. I want to make sure I'm presentable. I want to make sure I'm neat and clean. I want to make sure my hair is where it's supposed to be. Continually. You know what God said? All right, now take that and apply that same principle to the way you listen to the Word of God. Continually check your inner man by the Scripture so you can have liberty. Freedom from sin. I've sat with a man on this side and a woman on that side, and I've told that saved man what the Bible said to save his marriage, and he knew what I was going to tell him before I said it. And I've told that saved woman what the Bible said she needed to save her marriage. She knew what I was going to say before she said it. And they walked out of there and went to the divorce court. Say, why? Because they knew facts about the Bible, but they didn't know the truth. Say, why didn't they know the truth? Because they wouldn't hear it. Why wouldn't they hear it? Because they wanted to live in the wilderness and then go to heaven when they died. They did not want to live in Canaan land down here. All over this community, they're young men, young ladies, 24, 25, 26, 27 years old. They've already been through a failed marriage. They're fighting right now over the baby. They're fighting right now over the trailer. They're fighting right now over the car. And both of them raised in church. Both of them know the way of salvation. Both of them probably saved. Both of them can tell you exactly what God says about what they're doing. They just refuse to continue in God's Word. And so they live in bondage to sin their entire life. Not because they're not saved. Because that's all they wanted. I just want to be saved. I just want to go to heaven. What a miserable way to live. What a miserable way to live. You could fly first class and you choose to have somebody strap you to the tail.
Well, I'm going there, aren't I?
Well, yeah, I guess. But you don't have to go strapped to the tail. You could sit in first class. Joshua 1. I was going to go farther this morning, but I think this would be good. We'll just stop right here. Joshua 1, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Thou mayest observe to do. We've got a lot of people in our independent Baptist churches observing to know. God said observe to do. Thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Look, that's God's desire. God desires our spiritual prosperity. That's what He wants. This book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, not because God promised, for then, not because He has a covenant, for then, not because Joshua is there to lead them, but because they chose to occupy themselves unceasingly with observing God's word, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I'll say one more thing, then I'm done. If these verses are true, it doesn't have to be sin. It just has to take you away from the Word of God. If they don't drink, if they don't cuss, if they don't chew tobacco, if they don't look at dirty movies at your hunting club, and you're more interested in your hunting club than you are serving Jesus Christ, you're in the wilderness. And you're not getting out. You cover every inch of your flesh and go to that beach and nobody else is there. And you way down the coast. Nobody's sinning there. You'd rather go to that beach than you would go tell somebody about Jesus. You're in the wilderness. What's the love of your life? TV? We only watch good programs. Yeah, but are you continuing in the Word while you're watching the good programs, or are you just wasting another day? I'm saved. Okay, fine, you're saved. But how about your marriage? How about your children? How about your neighbors? About your enjoyment of the saved life? Whatever keeps me from meditating day and night on God's Word, whatever little side trail I'm on, whatever little activity I'm wrapped up in that's not Jesus Christ and His work, it's keeping me from liberty. Keeping me from freedom. It's got me in bondage. And it might be a very good thing. Hardest thing you men will ever have to do is earn a living the way the Bible says to and keep Jesus Christ first in your life. Hardest thing you ladies ever try to do is guide that household the way God said to do it and keep Jesus Christ first in your life. Young people, it's just about impossible to devote the time and energy that's necessary to get a good education and get established in the workforce and keep Jesus Christ first in your life. But it absolutely can be done if that's what you desire. And it's all about the heart's desire. If you want to be saved and go to heaven this morning, you can be saved. If you want to enjoy freedom from sin in your life this morning, you can enjoy it. It just depends on what you desire. Depends on what you want. I'm not picking on this for any reason other than it's what's going on in our area. We're trying to get home Friday, and coming out of Atlanta, there's 6 lanes of traffic heading south, and we're moving at 2 miles an hour. People got a long weekend. They're heading out to do something they've been looking forward to. Some of them sin, some of them wasn't. But it was the desire of their heart to sit in that traffic and spend that money and buy that motel room and whatever it might be. They lined up for hours, sitting out there on I-4, waiting to get in the infield of that racetrack over there at Daytona. Sit a half mile up in the air and watch little specks go by. Meow, 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 meow. Camera in their hand, hoping somebody rolls that baby over. Whoa, look at that one. Kind of like those people watching me jump off that cliff the other day. They're just waiting for the wipeout. You know why they did? You know why I spent all that money, sat in all that traffic? Then get out, I don't know what time of the night last night, sit in all that traffic again, waiting to get home, pay $200 and some for a bed and a bath. Because they wanted to. Had a desire for it. You know what you're doing in your life? You know what the priority is in your life? It's what you desire. You know what you're pursuing in your life? What you desire. You know what God's concerned about? You're not concerned about fixing all those sins in your life. If He could just fix that desire, those sins would fall away. All the devils of hell couldn't keep you from getting to heaven if you desired to be born again. All the world, all the flesh, it couldn't stop you from living for Jesus if you desired to live in obedience to His Word. It's all about your heart. But I don't want to just... I don't want a Jesus just fixes it so I don't have to die in my sins. I want a Jesus that fixes it so I don't have to live in my sins. I want to be free now. Some therefore shall make you free, shall be free indeed. Indeed, free in my deeds. Sin, self. That's God's desire. Hope it's yours. Let's pray. Father in heaven, bless your word to our hearts. God, help us be more concerned about a right relationship with you than anything else in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.